Welcome to Ink in Your Veins. I'm your host, Rachel Herron. In this podcast, I talk to authors about the best things they've learned about writing so we can try those things too. I'll keep each episode short so you can get back to writing. Well, hello, writers. Welcome to episode number 434 of Ink in Your Veins. I'm Rachel Herron. Another special bonus Unstuck episode with Carter Wilson today, which you will love. That's coming up in just a second. A little update about the Kickstarter. I think it has 4 days to go. 4 days to go. So for me, that is over the weekend. So close to finishing, and I'm so excited about it. I am going to send out today to all backers the poll to vote on the family portrait that we're having drawn for me and Lala and Jude Mug doing something fun. I am taking the top recommendations from backers, and I'm going to do a little poll. So if you have backed, you're going to be getting that to vote on. I want to know how we should be drawn, what we should be doing in it. What else? I have been working along on the audio, which is fun, but I have definitely hit that point in recording the audio where you don't care about the book anymore. Do you know how many times I have read this book? For all of the edits, for all of the everything, this is the very last time I'm going through it. And you know what? My editors, all of them, have been so fantastic. Usually this is the point at which I find a typo or two that have snuck by even the best crews. I have not found even a single extra space. I have rearranged a couple of words because I said them differently, so I changed them in the book, and God knows I probably introduced a typo just doing that, and I'm terrified of that. But yeah, as I was editing today's chapter on moving around, I was thinking, this is a good chapter. This is good writing. And I don't care. I'm tired of hearing my own voice. I feel like I've heard my own voice a lot this month, as have you, as we're doing these amazing extra podcasts. However, I am not tired of hearing people talk about how they became stuck and then got unstuck. That is something that is going to be exciting to me forever. And I'm not sure how I can work it into my everyday life going forward. I think maybe it's just going to continue to be part of the conversation. Maybe I was even thinking about adding it to my podcast questions, because it's something that when we were talking to Jenny, it came up. And oh, I have a great episode coming up, I think, in 2 days with someone you know and love. And we talk about it again, that the question is just scary. The question of, hey, should we change? Should we do something perhaps that nobody else would do? Or perhaps that no one should think we should do? Should we think about doing that? Or even scarier, honestly, should I do that? When I was talking to Becca Syme, we were talking about how parallel our situations were. However, I did it with Lala. I made this huge unstuck move with my partner, never alone. And Becca left her home and never went back by herself. And I just think that is so amazing and courageous. And to ask that question of ourselves and whoever we're around and whoever we want to consider highly enough to ask this question, should we do something different? Or if it's with yourself, ooh, how incredibly delicious. And we have to ask ourselves this question all the time. I did it this year. What do I want? What do I want to change? What do I want to become that is different from what I was working on last year? So I am so glad that we're having this conversation. Please enjoy this interview with Carter. If you have not backed and still want to, I would love to have you over there. RachelHerron.com/unstuck. You know how to Google it. Come find me. It would be amazing and wonderful if you did. I'd really appreciate it. Time is running out. Okay, here's the interview with Carter. Please enjoy. And I'm so happy that you're here. I could not be more pleased to have you on the show today. Will you please share your name and your pronouns with us?
Hi, this is Carter Wilson, he, him.
Thank you very much. I'm going to give a little bio and then we're going to jump right into it. Carter Wilson is the USA Today bestselling author of 9 critically acclaimed standalone psychological thrillers, as well as numerous short stories. He's an ITW Thriller Award finalist, a 5-time winner of the Colorado Book Award, and his works have been optioned for TV, television and film. Additionally, he is the host of the Making It Up podcast, which I've been on and is super fun, and founder of the Unbound Writer Company, which provides coaching services, writing retreats, and online classes. Carter lives in Erie, Colorado, in a Victorian house that is spooky but isn't haunted yet. I love the yet because then I think, are you going to be the one? You're going to be the one.
I'm hoping, you know, we can all have aspirations.
that would be lovely. You know, all right. So you were on the show. I looked this up. It was episode, we're in the 400, mid 400s now, and you were on episode 120 5 years ago in 2019. Yeah. So you have done quite a lot since then. I love your writing. You gave me a beautiful blurb for one of my thrillers one time, and I will always appreciate it. And today we're talking about this book that I wrote about getting unstuck. And I feel like writers who have come this far, as far as you have, might have some practice with getting unstuck either in writing or in any other part of your life. And I would love to hear your, sorry, I'm babbling, but I want to say one more thing about you and your storytelling. I've said this on the podcast before. Anybody who wants to find out how to write an author's newsletter, go to Carter Wilson's site and sign up for it, because you write the best author's newsletter in the world because you tell stories. Now, would you please tell me a story about being stuck?
Thank you. I mean, it's so psychological, right? You know, we have these conversations about like writer's block, for example, and I don't even think writer's block exists. I think when you talk about getting stuck, it's never about the thing that's in front of your face at the moment, right? Yeah. But it takes you being curious and digging, and maybe even painfully so, to find out what it is that you're stuck about. I always think about it's like yelling at your kids. You're not really mad at your kids, right? You're mad because you had a fight with your spouse, or you're mad because of something else. And that's the same thing with getting stuck in all aspects of life. And in particular with writing, the best thing for me to do is not to dig into it too much, to actually just kind of release myself from it. Whatever that problem is, in fact, I have let go tattooed on my arm. And that's it, right? It's like, you know, you're not going to solve all of the mysteries all at once. You're not going to solve all of your problems. What happens if you just take a break? You just backed away from it and fully focused on something else entirely. Then when you return to it, you'll have this clarity that surprises you. You know, it's a great example. This is such a stupid example, but it's so true. Wordle. You know, I'll do my Wordle.
So true. So true.
And I'm like, I can't get this. And then I go back to 2 hours later. I'm like, oh, in 10 seconds, I have it solved.
Every you know, but it took, time. Yes. Right, my wife and I Wordle together, and she's so much better at it than I am. So every day I get frustrated when she solves it in 5 seconds, and I stare really hard, and then I throw the phone across the room, and I say really calmly, like, oh, I got to do the dishes. But what I'm really saying is, I'm so mad. You always beat me. And then when I go, right. It's right there.
It's so true. And a lot of it has to do, not necessarily Wordle, but other stuff, has to do with not trusting yourself and not trusting your own instincts and fighting against them because your self-confidence isn't quite there in the moment. And like, I'm doing this wrong. And I always find when I returned to the thing that I felt was right to do, it was right to do. And I've made mistakes having to get back to that point to realize it. You know, I've made huge mistakes in books, you know, because I didn't trust my instincts.
Oh, tell me more about that. Can you remember any of the instances? Well,
so the book that just came out, The Father She Went to Find, I normally write first person present tense. I just love it. That's where my voice exists. Mm-hmm. And my protagonist is a 21-year-old female savant who lives in, takes place in 1987. And I didn't trust my instinct. I'm like, I can't get close enough to this person because she's so unlike me. And it didn't work. And then I ended up rewriting the entire thing, first person present tense.
Oh, so you wrote the whole thing and then went back.
Third person past. Yeah. And then I rewrote it because my editor's like, I'm not connecting with her. And I'm like, that's the problem. I didn't trust myself to think that I could do what I've already been doing. So yeah, and that was a huge, I mean, it was a great experience for me. It was a huge learning lesson to be like, okay, now I know, like, you can do this better than than the other way you were trying to do it. So that's, but it's taken me 20 years in the writing world to figure those lessons out, right?
Well, that's what I want to ask you too. On the, if we think about ourselves without much work done on ourselves, because we've all been working on ourselves a while. But if you think of those original character defects or defenses, where would you have put yourself in terms of perfectionism and control? Are you a one lazy loosey goosey or a number 10 type A plus kind of person?
Yeah, it's funny because I tend to skew towards perfectionism, but in writing, I teach do not chase perfectionism because
Yes.
your books will never be perfect. And the hardest thing to do is to finish something, right? And one of the
Yes.
big blockages people have when writing is they are trying to be perfect and they just get a third of the way in and they give up because it's exhausting and overwhelming.
Everyone. Most
Yeah.
people do that. But so let's go back to you before you knew that. And because there will be people listening who say, okay, Carter is saying just to like let go and accept and walk away when I'm stuck. But I'm betting that you learned that the hard way, the same way I did, right? Like, I will never let go. I will figure this out. I'm going to sit at this desk for 36 hours and figure out what to do
Right.
next, right?
Right. But figuring out doesn't have to be something that destroys your life.
And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't
It
be.
shouldn't be. Like, everyone thinks that writing is this thing that you've got this innate talent, and you, when the
Yeah.
muse calls, you sit down and then you sit for 12 hours and you write half a book. And that's not true at all. Writing
I
is
still
about
wish.
writing every single day and
Yeah.
building the muscle and building the confidence through trial and error, but doing it so consistently that you can't not fail at some point, you know? So it's
Okay,
like
that is,
exercise.
that's beautiful. Doing it so consistently that you can't not fail at some point. If you keep walking toward this goal, even if you stumble the whole way there, you will still get there. That's what I love about
Yeah.
you and your
And that
teaching
goal
and your
might
talking
look
about writing.
totally
Yeah.
different at
Yeah.
by the time you get there,
It always
but
does, doesn't it?
it is all about consistency. I mean, so much so. And that's how you get that strength to let yourself let go.
Okay. On the hard days now that you have been doing this a number of years. On the hard days now, when you get frustrated, what are the alarm bells that go off that say to you, Carter, you're stuck. Why don't you walk away for a second? Look at the tattoo. I have one that says now right here. I never look at it. I never remember to look at it, but it's there. Yeah, what tells you that you're stuck?
When your motivation is just gone.
Okay, that's
So for
huge.
example,
So it's
I
even
only
before you get to the
write
page, right?
right. Like, well, I only
Yeah.
write an hour a day and I don't outline. So to me, every time I approach my hour of writing, I'm excited because I'm like, what happens now? I can't wait to find out. And then there are sometimes when you, as you know as well as anyone, 60, 50, 60% into your book, you're just like, this is a garbage book. This
There's
is,
no book here. There's
I hate
nothing.
everything about it. I don't know
I
what happens next.
don't want to know.
And then as much as I preach, write every day, those are the days I just sit and kind of let myself think. I don't say, you have to do your 500 words. I just sit there and be like, hey, if I think of something that is interesting, great, but I'm not going to force it. I might just sit there and drink my cup of coffee and be like, nope, I got nothing. But I count it because I took the time to sit down and make an effort. But forcing things rarely works, I find.
Yeah. Let's just point out too that you are a working professional writer who keeps putting out books and you're writing 1 hour a day. This is what I love. When I'm really writing books, I'm writing about 1 hour a day. I'm doing all the other stuff. It doesn't take 8 hours a day, 12 hours a day. We can do our life's work in those little pockets of time of
Right. And if you prioritize it as a passion, if you're a writer, which you should, or you should question yourself whether it's there for you or not, then writing an hour a day is not hard. And it amazes people that doing that you can complete a manuscript in 9 months. And so I'm writing basically a book a year, working only an hour a day on the actual book. Now, of course, as you know, there's a million things also that you've got to do.
1 million. Yeah.
But in terms of actually getting that first draft done, as ugly as it is, it's not that hard and it's very fulfilling.
And if you just keep rolling up on the desk and keep, as you say, asking yourself when you get there or before you get there, if you've got that dread or if you're not getting there, that may be a sign that a writer is un that a writer is stuck. Would you throw a couple of tools at us out of the blue here? And what you would advise, what actions you would advise a writer who's feeling stuck about the work in progress? What should they do?
Well, a couple of things, and kind of on a loftier scale, the very first thing I do with my coaching clients is I make them tell me why they're writing. Why are you doing this? Because nobody really explores that within themselves. And how many times this can be for anything you're doing in your life, right? You're so frustrated. And if you think like, why am I even doing this? And really explore that question, because you might be surprised and you might find out, I don't know why I'm doing this. And maybe that's a time when you could say, okay, well, then I'm going to stop doing this. And that's okay. Writers don't do that often because they feel like
I've
this is
never seen
this
one
great.
do it. I asked the same question. I've never seen one freak out and say, I don't have a reason. I'm done. I'm going to go boogie board. But
And that why can change over time. But one time I can think of one time in a manuscript that I was so profoundly stuck. And again, because I don't outline, I tend to use the first 100 pages just to throw everything at this character because it's fun for me. And then after 100, I'm like, I don't know at all what explains any of this. And I took a month off and I hung huge sheets of white, those big 3M sheets of paper all over my office. And I had about 10 different colored markers. And I would just sit there and I would just for an hour a day and I would write words on these sheets of paper cover. I mean, it looked like a psychopath,
I
but
bet.
I'm like, I need to figure this out, but I don't want to force it. So let me just, if a word pops in my head, I write it down in one color. And over the course of a month, I'm like, okay, I got it. But it took all that time of just allowing myself to kind of go at a slower speed and a very different process
I
to
love
unravel, to
that.
unstick myself.
I love that. And you
That's the
weren't
only time
just,
I've had that much of an issue.
but you weren't just staring at the computer, but you were still working. And I am of the mind that my preferred method of work is sitting at the computer, not knowing where I'm going, and just writing. That's my preferred method. But we always, at some point, we'll have to step back and do the thinking, and that's part of work. And you were doing that on the, I love that idea with the big sheets and the colored pens.
And what it is, because it's different for everybody, right? Everyone has something that's going to work for them. But all those, and even the act of writing itself, they're all forms of meditation, I think, because you are so present. You can't not be present in the moment. So if you're stuck, actual meditation is a fantastic way to just allow yourself to be so present with your eyes closed and letting yourself go in your own mind, it just kind of flushes your system, your mental system a little bit. And it's not easy to do. It's hard to not think as a
It's,
writer, but
but it's
it's,
such
I
good. Such good
highly
practice.
recommend. Yeah, give your brain, it's okay. And give you, nobody gives themselves the permission to do that. Everyone thinks, I've got to do this. It's got to be great. Like, no, it's okay to have problems. Embrace it and be curious about it.
It's 100% guaranteed. When my students come to me and say, but I'm so stuck and I can't get through, and this might mean I'm not a writer. And I'm like, no, that's just the proof that you are a writer, because that's what happens. I have two meditation positions. I have my normal everyday meditation practice, which really helps my writing, I think, where I sit up and I meditate with air quotes correctly. And then my meditation practice for writing when I'm stuck is always flat on my back, office floor, looking at the ceiling. And that is a different kind of meditation where I'm just letting it all roll through.
And I would advise that one thing I think is, I don't know if it's dangerous, but I think it's wrong, is to use terms like writer's block, because I feel like that's an excuse. Because if you're stuck as a writer and you're like, well, I have writer's block, it's not like you have tendonitis like a tennis player has that everyone gets it. No, you've got a blockage from something else, and that's totally okay. But if you just say it's writer's block and it happens, you're not really exploring what the problem is.
Exactly. Writer's block puts it into a box, whereas we're dealing with an emotional management issue. What is
Right.
that? How can we take the lid off of the box? And writer's block is lazy. There are people who can't write for whatever reason, and they need to figure out what that is. And hopefully today, talking to you and listening to you will help a couple of people out there.
I hope so.
Tell us a little bit about the most recent book, please, because I haven't read it yet and I can't wait to.
So the father she went to find, that was my pandemic book. So it's a little bit different. It's maybe a little bit softer. It's still pretty
Oh,
dark and disturbing.
exciting.
But it's about 21-year-old Penny Bly, and the year is 1987, and she has become a savant through physical trauma. So she fell down a set of stairs when she was 6 years old, went into a coma, awoke, and awoke to having exceptional mental abilities. So she's basically been raised in an institute where they educate her and they study her, and her father left the family when she was in the coma. Every year, he sends her a postcard on her birthday with no return address. And when she turns 21, he sends a birthday card and says, "This is the last time I'm ever going to write to you." But for the first time, there's a return address. So she leaves everything she's ever known to head from Wisconsin to California, however she can figure out how to do that, to find her father. And it's kind of an exploration of like, well, she's one of the 75 smartest people in the world, but what does that really mean when you're out on your own in the real world in 1987 with no driver's license, no friends, no money, trying to find your dad?
No internet, no
So,
cell phone, no way to find out. There were libraries then. There were just libraries. That was it. Oh, I
So,
can't wait to read it. Where can we find you?
CarterWilson.com and UnboundWriter.com.
And please go sign up for Carter's newsletter. Do you have a newsletter over at Unbound as well?
Nope, not yet.
Okay, not
Not
yet.
yet. It's
All right.
so
Well,
much work.
it's a believe me, I know. But until then, sign up for Carter because yours is one of those emails that I saved to read, number one, because it's amusing, and number two, because every time I read it, I think, oh, he's so smart. I'm going to do everything he's doing. And then I never put anything into practice, but I'm going to someday.
You find what works for you and what you enjoy doing. That's the main
Exactly.
thing.
Podcasting, that's what I enjoy. Carter, thank you
Exactly.
so much for being here. May your book fly from the shelves. And thank you for talking us to us today about getting unstuck. I really appreciate you.
Rachel, always good to see you.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of Ink in Your Veins. You can reach me at my website, rachelherron.com, and you can also support me at patreon.com/Rachel, RACHAEL, where I have all sorts of great stuff for writers for as little as a buck a month. And do sign up for my free writer's email list of encouragement at rachelherron.com/write. Now, get to writing, my friends.